Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. It's all that you have done for us. You paid the price, Lord. You were the sacrifice, Lord. You paid with your love. You paid with your blood, Jesus. And we thank you today. We thank you today. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say thank you to him? Amen. Thanks, guys. Okay. Morning. I'm going to sit here for a moment, not for very long. If you've been here, since the autumn, the end of the autumn, and over Christmas and the beginning of this year, Pastor Clive has been speaking about the great rest and just seated in God, sitting in the chair, the great rest, and what that means for us. And I know when Clive asked if I would speak, I knew that God wanted to just carry on this whole thing. So we've got the three chairs with a slight difference, as you can see, that we're going to talk about in a minute. First of all, this chair here represents how we all were before we met Jesus. Okay, I'm just going to read to you. This from Ephesians. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. The word says it as it is, doesn't it? You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Okay? All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, that I have been saved, for he raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to sit here now in the comfy seat. Oh, it is comfortable. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. And God saved you by his grace when we believed. Okay, that's all we did. We just believed and we heard about him. Okay? And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's cool. Oh, hang on, there's more. There we go. Ephesians 1. It's much more. There's much more. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Okay, these are the heavenly realms this morning. I'm seated in Christ. He's seated right here under me. I'm sitting on his lap. And he's in me by the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because we are united with Christ, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he's poured out onto us who belong to his dear son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with blood, with his blood, okay, of his son, and forgave our sins. Do you know that right now, where you're seated, his blood purchased you and just forgave all your sins? Can you believe it right now? I know people struggle to believe that. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. In this place, we have all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. And furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Okay, we have an inheritance. For he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Here, he has a plan for our lives. And sometimes we don't like the look of that or it scares us. So we can do our own thing. And this chair over here, if you remember when Clive's been speaking, is the chair that we can move into where we're saved, but we live in our flesh, ourself, what we want, what we think's best, what we want to go after, what we think might satisfy us. Okay, but this here is his plan for us. And Clive picked up the chair last week and walked along with that. I'm not going to try that with this. Walked along, seated in him. His plan outworks for our lives. His plan. Okay. Right, let's finish this. Here Paul prays that we would understand all the wisdom and insight and grow in knowledge, the knowledge of God, okay? He prays that our hearts will be flooded with light here so you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honour at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. That power that put Christ here is in us. Is in us. Amen. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. You are seated above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Amen. We've been singing that he reigns. And we reign with him. And we're going to reign with him in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. That's us. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. In this place, we are complete. We are complete and full with him. Amen. Amen. In this place, we overcome because of his blood. Okay? In this place, there's rest, because he's done everything. He's done it all. He, on the cross, he said, it is finished. We don't have to strive. We don't have to strive to get what God wants to happen. What God wants to happen will happen. We don't have to sweat blood. You know, he spoke to me once. He said, I sweat blood in the garden. You don't have to sweat blood over something you think you want to see happen, over something I've spoken to you. You can't force it. But sometimes we get like that, don't we? Well, I do. That's why he said it to me. He said, you don't have to sweat blood. I did that in the garden. We just have to believe him. Sounds too simple, doesn't it? In this place, there's peace. And I think for me, peace with God is the most amazing thing that happened to me when I got saved. Peace with God is the most amazing thing we can have. Peace in our hearts and our minds. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. It says the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace crushes Satan under our feet. Perfect peace has those whose mind is stayed on the Lord. This place is a place of peace. That place is not a place of peace. That is a struggle and a strive and a trying to work out in our own thinking. How is this going to happen? How can I get this to happen? God, when are you going to do it? That is not a place of peace. This is a place of peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let us do our best to enter the place of rest, the rest of faith, trusting God. I think it's the only place where, I don't know, but, you know, to actually read, let us do our best to enter rest. Let's not do our best to get revival. Let's not do our best to get finances. Let's not do our best to struggle or strive or cry out. Let's do our best to enter rest. That's amazing. It doesn't mean we don't do anything, and we're going to look at that in a minute. The work of God is to believe. Can you just receive that in your spirit? The work of God is to believe. That's why it's such a struggle for religious Jewish people or anybody who thinks they have to act a certain way for their God to love them, because God says no. All you got to do is believe. Your works count for nothing. I want you to come in to rest. Okay? So the first chair is living under the power of the enemy. That chair listens to the lies of the enemy. This chair, this place, rests in God and trusts him. I think it's really interesting that in the Jewish calendar this year, September 2014 to September 2015 is a year called the Shemitah year. And basically, it's a year of rest. I don't know if you know that. And I just thought it was interesting that what God started to speak and do with Pastor Clive about being in a place of rest, where this is for Israel, is supposed to be a year of rest. Now, I know some people can't even handle the fact that God says, have a day of rest. Can you imagine? Actually, when God says, just put a whole day aside for me, just worship me, just rest, have family time. But a year of rest, a whole year. And God asked them to do that so that it would give the land a rest, okay, and them a rest. And some people in Israel still are trying, some farmers, you know, they won't plough their land for the year. So they work extra hard the years before and they trust God, and then God blesses them. They have miracles. It works, funnily enough. But the whole year is supposed to be a year where they're devoted to God. They strengthen their bond with God and they hone their faith and trust in his faithfulness and his ways. And they acknowledge that everything belongs to him. Okay, observing Shemitah is an act of surrender and submission and humility. Yeah. Staying in this place is constantly an act of surrender and submission and humility that God knows best. It involves communicating with God on a deeper level. It involves listening to him instead of saying what we want. And it involves obeying him. instead of doing what we want. God is first and above all, and he's the source of all. And I think for our 40 days, beginning of this year, that's what we were saying, wasn't it? We were saying, putting God first. And we were saying he was our first love. What's interesting about the Shemitah year is when it ends in the end of September was a day of release of debt. They were to bless one another. They were to let people off. And I know I've been a Christian a long time, but I'm just like really trusting God that in this year of rest, we're going to see a release.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is anybody else up for that?
Yes.
You don't sound too sure. Can God ask us to rest in him and trust him? Do what he asks and then see a release of him at the end of it?
Yes.
I'm up for that. Anybody else?
Yes.
I've been trying it a lot of other ways for a very long time. This, I believe, is plugging into God. Is plugging into that 63 amp supply that God was talking about earlier on in the autumn. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Plugging into this place, plugging into God, into trusting him on a deeper level and just doing what he says, is plugging into the 63 amp supply. We're going to see a greater release of God this year, I believe. Because he's speaking. Clive was saying about last week about fruit. When Jesus said, abide in me and you'll bear much fruit. It's this abiding and this resting in God that we bear fruit. Okay, that fruit was going to see a release. So he said about not neglecting abiding. And how many of us are busy, speaking to myself here as well, are busy doing everything, but we neglect the one thing where fruit comes from, and that's being in his presence. Abiding in his word, we will bear much fruit, because his word is living and active. He has the words of eternal life. So where else would we go? He has the words of eternal life. What do you spend your time reading? What do we spend our time watching or doing when he has the words of eternal life and they're right here and they bear fruit? Amen? Every word he speaks is spirit and life. And listening to him, our faith increases. Listening to him, he becomes the stronghold of our mind and our life. And we overcome. When he lies to us there and we believe it, we get overwhelmed and we get overcome by the enemy. But when we listen to his words and they're in our mind, that becomes our stronghold. When the word says, Jesus, you are the stronghold of my life, that's what it means. He becomes a stronghold of our thinking, of our speech, of everything, when his words are up here and in here. Amen? We overcome here the lies of the enemy. Let's read Psalm 91. Can you turn there? There's some great stuff in this. Or if not, just listen to me. I've got New Living Translation, so you might have different things going on in your head with different, slightly different translation. But okay, listen to this. It's amazing. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High. That's what this place is here, where you're seated in him, okay? Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge and my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. What's important here is that we're reading this word and then it says, this I declare about the Lord. Here, we declare who he is in our lives. There, we declare what the enemy says about us, about circumstances, about stuff going on in our lives or other people. There, we in that seat, we declare other stuff. in this seat, it's really important we declare what God says. Amen? About us and about him. So can you do that right now? Can you speak out? He alone is my refuge. My place of safety. He is my God. And I trust him. Excellent. For he will rescue you from every trap of the enemy. Okay? And he protects you from the deadly disease. He covers you with his feathers and he shelters you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Amen? In this place, we have his faithful promises and they protect us. And for you mums here, there's one line that I spoke out of my kids most days when they've walked out of school. And I would just grab them and say, his faithful promises are your armour and protection. Amen? Just speak it over them. Speak it over them and leave them in God's hands. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Amen? Here, we're protected. There is a bit dodgy. We have the blood of Jesus. Still here, over there. But sometimes we make decisions that put us in dangerous situations. And God wants you here protected. Okay? Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Amen? Amen? No evil can touch you or conquer you here. There, if you listen to the lies of the enemy, you can be overcome and evil can conquer. Okay? That's why it's so important we keep ourselves close to him. And not listening to the enemy, but listening to the Lord. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. And the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. He rescues those who love him. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. So, like Clive's been saying, trouble comes. And Jesus said we will have trouble in this life. The perfect life, the Christian life, isn't a life that's taken out of the world. We're in the world and trouble comes. But in this place, we're protected. In this place, when we call out to him, he answers. He rescues us. And he honours us, it says. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. And it says, show them my salvation. And that word there is, in the Hebrew, is Yeshua. That's his name. He shows us all the time here. He shows us Jesus. He just keeps revealing more and more of who he is. And you know, sometimes we don't walk this walk perfectly, and sometimes we struggle, and sometimes we fail. And I just remember a word that Pastor Colin brought in the early autumn about, he went through the Bible about all the different Bible characters who failed, who blew it in one massive way or another. But God, he knows who loves him. He knows who loves him, and he brings them back to this place. Okay? He doesn't let us go. He keeps hold of us. Right, that's Psalm 91. It touched on fear in there. You know, Christians can quite often live in fear in that place. Whereas here, keeping in his perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? We do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The enemy may seek to put us off or try and distract us or steal, kill, and destroy, but here he can't touch us. Okay? We overcome. We may fear at times and we may question, but when we are weak, when we're struggling with something, he is strong. Okay? Here, it was the Holy Spirit that took us from that place to this place. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to live here, to walk in victory, to walk in what Christ has done for us. Amen? Amen. Is this all right? Yes. I want to speak for a little while about his power that works within us in this place. Okay? We've read about, we've been hearing about not neglecting, abiding in him. But the other thing that we're not to neglect is the person of the Holy Spirit. We're not to neglect the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit who is in us and keeps us here and keeps us on our walk. Okay? In Jude, it talks about keeping ourselves in his love by praying in the Spirit. That's interesting. If ever you struggle with knowing and understanding or believing the love of God, we're actually told to pray in the Spirit. It keeps us in the love of God. But again, we're so busy with life that how many of us actually spend much time praying in the Holy Spirit? Praying in tongues. Many people pray. Many religions pray. Anybody can pray. And there, you can pray all kinds of things. What you want. What you think God's saying. We have many words in that place. But here, we're to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Pray in tongues. Listen, what's he saying? Because he interprets, he will then speak what he's saying. And then we know, and then we either do or we speak it out, yeah? But do we spend much time, do we spend more time praying what we're thinking in our own words than praying in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the spirit language that he's given us when he's got more to say about something than we should have. Does that make sense? Yes. He is, Jesus gave him to us as our comforter and our help. Okay? The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But God's Spirit searches out deep things and secrets of God and reveals them to us. So in this place, we want to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying about something. Yeah? He wants to reveal to us the deep things of God, the secrets of God. God wants to reveal things about himself to us, but we have to actually be in a place long enough to hear him. Yeah? Those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit and fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yes. Stir up and activate this gift that we have. And that's what Paul said to Timothy, wasn't it? Fan into flame. Do not neglect him. Fan into flame the gift that you have. Stir him up. And God wants to stir up our spirit. Okay, back in the autumn, God was speaking about stirring up the spirit of the people. He wants to stir up the Holy Spirit in each one of us. So that more of the Holy Spirit is being released in and through our lives. Amen? Let's have a look at this, Romans 8. See what it says. Let's have a look. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. In this seat, we were dominated by the sinful nature. In that seat, you can still be dominated by the sinful nature. If you allow sin in your life to remain, it will dominate you. And you won't be able to break out of it. Okay? Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. And that's where we want to be, isn't it? Isn't it? So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Okay? But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Amen. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Amen. Are you? You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Excellent. Okay. It's interesting that it says, I can't remember where it says because I didn't write it down, but Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So how did a guy who had such an encounter with God, he knew the word because he'd grown up in the word and he was a teacher of the word, but he said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. If he did, then I certainly need to. Amen? He said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. He knew the need for praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's obviously where his fruit came from. Because he saw more fruit than anybody else. He saw more salvations than anybody else. He spoke in tongues more than anyone else. If we trust that Jesus is the end from the beginning, okay? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He outworks God's plan for our lives. And it's allowing, it's praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, okay? And in however God leads us to do that, that we see his plan outworked for our lives. We walk in that plan, that the Holy Spirit prays through us. That's why it's important that we pray every day. It says sometimes we don't know what we ought to pray. We don't understand how to pray, especially the days that we're living in. In Romans 8, it says we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay? In Psalm 46, it talks about the chaos that the nations are in. The shakings that are going on in the nations. And he says in that, be still and know that I am God. Amen. Let's read it because it's actually really powerful. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Okay? So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam, let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. Okay? The God of Israel is our fortress. Amen? Here in this place, we're protected. Here in this place, the Lord of heaven's armies is standing right next to us. Okay? There's chaos in the nations, kingdoms crumbling at this moment. Islam in the Middle East is crumbling. Amen. At this moment, okay? Amen. Amen. And thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ because that religion, that stronghold is crumbling at the moment. Amen. God is moving. God is speaking. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. God is on the move. We don't always understand what that looks like. But in it, it says, come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. Here, when everything else is going on around us, when all hell is breaking loose, and I believe we're in days where that's happening, starting. I believe we're in days where the enemy knows his time is nearly up. And he is going to fight to the end. He's not going to go quietly. With Jesus returning, the enemy knows his time is nearly up and he's fighting to the end, to the bitter end. All hell could break out around us. But God asks us, he trains us, I believe, in this year to be still and know that he is God. Last year, I had all hell break out in my family. And it was hell. Stuff happened that was straight from the enemy. And God had spoken to me at the beginning of the year about death and destruction. And I saw it in a vision, but I saw it in the Middle East. But then it came here to my household, my family who live not far from here. And it was so traumatic. We're not going to be left untouched by what goes on when the enemy is out to steal, kill and destroy. He can't touch me. We can have a go at those that we love and those that aren't covered by the blood of Jesus. And when it happens, God spoke something to me amazing. Jesus just said to me, I stayed here in this place of peace, deep down. I struggled with God. I had questions. I had emotions that I've never had, never want again. And Jesus said to me, it's okay. He said, I know exactly what you're going through. He said, my disciples did exactly the same thing when I was crucified. He said, Peter didn't understand at all what was going on. And his first reaction was to grab a sword and cut off the ear of a guy that came to arrest Jesus. He said, he was all over, the disciples were all over the place when I died. They didn't know, they loved me, but they didn't know how to handle what was going on. They couldn't cope with the trauma of watching him being crucified. It's very real stuff that these guys went through and that we go through. It's very real. It can be very horrible. Our emotions, our thoughts can be all over the place when something happens that's a shock to our system and a shock to our faith, a shock to how we think God is going to do something. Death and destruction came to our door when I knew it was coming everywhere else because God, it is happening. It's been breaking out last year and still is in such horrible ways to Christians all over the world. But he says, be still and know that I am God. He wants us here. When we don't know what's going on, when we don't know what's coming or what it's going to look like, this is the only place that we stand. And this is where he wants us standing. Amen? He wants us to be at peace. Praying in the power of the Holy Spirit when you have no words of your own is the most important, powerful thing you can do. The most important, powerful thing you can do is pray in the power of the Holy Spirit because he builds up when everything else is gone. It's the Holy Spirit that builds us up and it's the Holy Spirit that keeps us going. Amen? The supernatural overcomes the natural. That's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God manifest when you can stand in the face of something that would take you out or that would cause you to be depressed. The manifest kingdom of God in our lives is being still when all hell is breaking out. It's trusting God when all hell is breaking out. And God said his kingdom would be built not by might or by power, but by his spirit. And when he said that in Zechariah, he said the temple we will be built. We're not building a temple. Obviously, the church is like God's temple, but we're seeing the kingdom built, aren't we? The kingdom of God built. And he said, mountains will be leveled before you. And it's in the place of the spirit that the kingdom is built, and mountains are leveled. And he levels them. He levels them. We don't have to. It says, we do not war according to flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds of the enemy. Amen. It's in the spirit that we see the enemy come down before us. It's in the spirit that we see the victory outworked in our lives. Ephesians 5 talks about waking up the church, waking up church, because the days you're in are evil. Don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stand in Ephesians 6 against demonic principalities and powers and strongholds. There we can't stand firm. There we are taken out. Okay, and the enemy will try and take you out. He'll try and knock you off course. He doesn't want you walking with God. He doesn't want you saving anybody else. He will try and take you out and distract you. But here we stand our ground. You know, we can really wobble in God. I really wobbled in God. Really. You know, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. I was wobbling big time. And God just spoke so clearly to me. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Because there are things that he wants me to do. He wanted me to do. Places I needed to go in the new year. And I was ready to just give it all up. And he said, stand your ground. And it says that in Ephesians 6. Stand firm, stand your ground. Do not be moved. And you know, the kingdom advances even when we just stand. So I'm going to stand for a minute. The kingdom advances when we stand in this place. Okay? In Psalm 91, in one of the lines there, in a different version, it says that he delivers us. And sometimes we feel like we want to be delivered out of a situation. And sometimes he does that. But that word there, when it said deliver, said, I'll equip you. It's like, oh, really? Can't you just shift this? Can't you just change this? Can't this just disappear? Can't you just do a miracle? And he says, no, I'll equip you. I equip you to stand. I equip you to fight. This is the place that Clive, when he spoke last week, this is the place where we rise up. This is our place of rising. And we know we're seated with him in heavenly places. This is our place of confidence. This is our place of victory. This is our place of boldness. When we've heard the Holy Spirit, we've prayed, and we're speaking out what he is saying, this is where we speak from. The Lord of Heaven's armies is standing right here with us. Here we're positioned to rule and reign. Here we're positioned in victory. And he positions us with insight. He gives us the wisdom. He gives us his eyes to see what he's saying, what he's doing, and how to overcome. And this is where he gives us the words and the decrees to speak out. His words and his decrees, not our words and what we think. Okay? He wants to position us in this world that's getting ever darker, but we shine ever brighter.
Amen.
But it's got to be in the power of the Spirit. It's got to be His light that shines through us. It's got to be His power into a dark world that need His light, they need His life breaking out. And God's speaking about, I know He's been speaking to me, and I know He's speaking to others about standing at gates that He is giving us. He has positioned, or wants to position, each one of you at a gate. It could be your family. It could be the nation. It could be a particular other nation. It could be a people group. It could be somewhere in your community, whether you work with children or... But He wants to position you where you guard that gate, what goes in and what goes out. You need to be able to do that in your own heart and life. First, what you allow and don't allow. Okay? Where you rule and reign in your own head, your own heart, your own circumstances. And here, He wants to position you for someone else, where you're guarding for them, where you're praying for them, where you're allowing what God's saying and then don't allow what God isn't saying. You don't allow the enemy. Okay? Positioning is here. And it's where we rise and where we speak what He is saying. It's by His Spirit. His Spirit at work. Not our might and power, but Him through His people. He strengthens us to stand. He equips us to stand our ground. And it's trusting in this place that the scripture, I think Clive brought it last week, that we trust Him, okay, to break out and to lead us into His plans and purposes that are for our good and not for harm. It's trusting Him that He breaks out through us to see that happen in other people's lives as well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And I just one other thing I've just remembered in there talks about they've done tests on, you know, physical tests on people who pray in tongues, and it's proven that praying in tongues, okay, which is the language that the Holy Spirit gives you, builds up your immune system. Okay? So does anybody here need their immune system building up?
Yeah.
I do. Okay, so that's a proven fact. It reduces stress levels. Anybody need their stress levels coming down? A peg or two. Praying in tongues has physical, emotional, mental benefits. Building ourselves up. Do you think God hasn't taken care of all that, Lord? Do you know what I mean? He's taken us out of this, and then He sits us here full of the Holy Spirit and says, right, you guys pray in tongues, and I'm going to suggest half an hour every day, at least.
Yep.
He takes care of our immune system.
Yeah.
He takes care of our stress levels.
Amen.
There's loads. There's loads. There's so much. It's not just the spiritual, you know, blessings. It's everything.
Yes.
There's healing.
Yes.
There's strength.
Yes.
There's power in us.
Yes.
If we will pray so we can rest and pray in tongues and allow Him to do what He wants to do in our lives and through our lives. Is anybody up for that?
Yes.
Shall we pray then? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Oh, just thank you. Just thank you for everything you have done for us, Lord. Everything you have given us, seated here, Father, just seated here. Raised up with you, seated in heavenly places at your hand, Lord. Lord Jesus, your blood has done everything for us. There are just blessings and power and anointing and our future and health and strength and everything, Lord, you have is here. And Father, we want to just rest in what you've done and rest knowing you've got the future mapped out. Rest knowing you've got the rest of this year mapped out. You just want to rest knowing you've got release coming for every single one of us, Lord. That's your plan and your purpose. Lord, we just want to believe you and your word. We want to sit in that. We want to remain in that. We want to abide in it. We want to just enjoy it. Enjoy you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we don't want to neglect you. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, when we neglect you. We don't want to struggle or strive on our own. You've been given to us, Holy Spirit, with the power that raised Christ from the dead. You are in us. You are in us, Holy Spirit. We don't want to neglect you. We don't want to grieve you. We want to allow you to pray through us, to minister through us, to pour out through us rivers of living water for those that need them, Lord. Holy Spirit, we want to spend time with you, listening to you more than talking. Hearing from you kingdom stuff and speaking what you give us to speak. Holy Spirit, we want to stir you up inside of us and see just such a massive release of you in and through our lives. Holy Spirit, you enable us to live the Christian life. You were poured out and activated, and we in the book of Acts, we see what you were up to, and you want to be activated in our lives, activated in this church, such a powerful way. Thank you, Jesus. Should we just pray in tongues for a few minutes? And I want us to pray strong. And I just, if you're not sure if you're filled with the Holy Spirit right now, or even if you just feel like you're not in that relationship with Jesus, you're here, you don't know him yet, and the enemy is still in control, if you like, you can just pray with everybody else right now. And you can ask the Lord. You can thank the Lord for dying for you and for making available to you everything that he did that's here for you. Today you can come into that place. You can come into this seat. You can come and be seated here in heavenly places with Jesus. You can come into everything that he died to give you. A life that's just amazing. It's just incredible. It's just overcoming. And you can just thank him right now that he did that for you. And you can make an exchange, a beautiful exchange. You can say, God, I give you that. I give you my life. I give you the sin. And Jesus, I want you in my life. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you love me. I believe that you want to come and live in me right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can ask him right now to fill you with the Holy Spirit who comes and lives in you. And the Bible says never, ever leaves you. Never, ever leaves you. So we're going to pray in tongues right now. And if you want to pray that, you can pray that. And the Holy Spirit can come on you and fill you with the Holy Spirit and can give you the language of speaking in tongues right now. Or if at the end you want the Holy Spirit, you want to be speaking in tongues, you can come down the front and we'll have some of the Connect team or some of the leaders in the church can pray with you and see you released in the power of the Holy Spirit because you need him. Amen. Let's pray now. Let's pray in tongues, guys. Let's stir up the gift that's within you. Ko rabaha. Come on, guys, stir up your spirit. Stir up your spirit. Koramande de de kido robo shinde de. Koramande de de kido robo hode de de shinde de kido ramande. Kido ramande de kido robo shinde de 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 kido ramande. Koramande de de kido robo hoshide de 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 kido ramande. Koramande de kido robo hode de 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 shinde de de de. Kido ramande, koramande de de shine de de kido ramande, koramashine de de kido ramande, koya ramande. Yeah, Father, we thank you that it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, Lord, that the kingdom is built, Lord, and mountains come down in our lives. And Lord, we do not have a spirit of fear. We do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. We want to stir up who you are in us. We want to stir you up, Lord. And I encourage you for at least 30 minutes every day. At least 30 minutes every day, and start seeing a change in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And this is not striving. This is being seated in him, praying in the power of who he's put in us and seeing him released. Amen? Amen. 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 Excellent. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.